Is America's economic recovery getting long in the tooth? Does it have presbyopia and hair in its ears?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. The S&P 500 early today remained above 2,000, in part because big companies have the profits to buy back their own shares, in part because investment overseas is a relatively risky bet. Let's get a look at the market psychology today with Natalie Trunau, Chief Investment Officer, Equities at Calvert Investments. Ms. Trunau, good morning.
Good morning. How are you, David?
I'm doing very well, and certainly the S&P 500 and stocks in general have been doing very well this summer, this year, last couple years. Some people view this as a feature of larger companies that have perhaps been buying back their own stocks and that leaving behind smaller companies. What's your feeling on that?
I think small caps have been underperforming and undeservingly so. And I think that has something to do with the perception in the marketplace of where we are in this economic cycle. I think many seem to think that we are in the tail end of the economic cycle, 21, 22 quarters into it, which historically would indicate late cycle, hence high risk aversion, and therefore the flight to quality to larger cap names. I have a somewhat contrarian position on that. We had the financial crisis, and so the depth and the devastating disruption that came out of that crisis really made the cycle in this recovery a lot more prolonged and slow.
So in part, the argument is the awful part of the recession was longer than normal. So maybe we'll get a longer than normal good part.
Exactly. It's going to be a longer cycle because we're coming out of a very pronounced dip in economic activity globally and in financial markets.
Natalie Trunau at Calvert Investments, thank you very much.
Thank you.
A new report says a little-known provision in the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare some call it, could help rein in pay for executives at health insurance companies. Now, critics charge this is wrong-headed and could push up health care costs, Marketplace's Annie Baxter reports.
Corporations can deduct the costs of doing business from their tax bills, including executive compensation, within limits. The Affordable Care Act made the limits stricter for health insurance companies.
Members of Congress were concerned that executives could use increased profits from their new customer base to line their own pocket.
Sarah Anderson is with the Institute for Policy Studies. She says health reform capped insurance companies' pay-related deductions at $500,000 per employee per year, and it eliminated loopholes for performance-based pay. Anderson says last year, the new rules generated $72 million in taxpayer savings just from the top 10 publicly traded health insurers. Kevin Murphy is a finance professor at the University of Southern California. He says the new limits are arbitrary.
It's a bad thought-out experiment that will not change compensation.
Murphy says insurers might just boost premiums to keep paying their employees high salaries. I'm Annie Baxter for Marketplace.
Now, a report on the business of lesbian bars. They're a place to grab a drink or meet a friend, but they're more than that. Some lesbian bars are a kind of community center, venues for public events or political organizing. But as Dina Prichep reports, some of these businesses are disappearing.
There's no sign outside of Portland, Oregon's temporary lesbian bar. But thanks to Facebook, people know where to go, and the place is full.
The music's not too loud, but it's just loud enough to dance if people want to. This is fun. It's romantic.
Katie Davidson organizes the evening, which brings in anywhere from 60 to 150 people. As the name suggests, it's temporary, just a monthly pop-up. But the event's been going strong, probably because Portland's only brick-and-mortar lesbian bar closed a few years back. And Portland's not the only place.
West Hollywood does not have a lesbian bar anymore. Philadelphia doesn't have one. Houston doesn't have one, and I could go on and on.
Alexis Clements is a playwright. When she was trying to pull together a tour for a recent woman-centered theater piece, she noticed the list of lesbian venues was shrinking.
That ranges from feminist bookstores to bars to arts organizations. All of these spaces are kind of going through a variety of different struggles that in some way are similar.
Clement says these struggles may actually reflect positive changes. People don't need a lesbian bar as a refuge because the culture at large is more accepting. And you can meet people online. In Portland, some people, like Karen Brooks, are pretty happy to move into the brave new world of pop-ups and Facebook groups.
I think it's actually more vibrant now than it was when there was a lesbian bar. It's just nimble and is able to respond to geography and demographics, and there's no going back.
But others, like Sarah Renberg, feel that something is lost.
And while I really love this event, it's also so much harder if this one happens on the third Thursday and this one happens on the second Tuesday. It's really difficult to piece that all together in order to find love and community.
In Portland, I'm Dina Pritchett for Marketplace.
And it says here that you have a quote-unquote mobile lifestyle to accessorize such a style. We have a new Marketplace app for you when you're running around with a hankering for our journalism. It's in the Apple and Google app stores. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.